We begin in the Canadian capital of Ottawa, which came under attack on Wednesday when a gunman fatally shot a soldier guarding the National War Memorial before entering the Parliament building and then firing multiple times. It was the second deadly attack against Canadian soldiers in 3 days.
My fellow Canadians, for the second time this week, there has been a brutal and violent attack on our soil. Today, our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of Corporal Nathan Cirillo.
That's Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper in televised remarks courtesy of CTV. The Canadian-born gunman, Michael Zehaf-Bibeau, was shot and killed in that Parliament building, but the city remained on lockdown for most of last night. Are Canadians seeking a new normal after this surprise violence? Joining me now with the latest from Ottawa is Andrew Pinsent, reporter for 1310 News in Ottawa. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
What's the feeling, take us from yesterday into today, in terms of just how shocked people were and how under threat people feel right now?
Well, I think this is it's still kind of dawning on everybody. People keep saying the city has changed forever. The reaction definitely yesterday was one of complete and utter shock that something like this could happen. We're the capital city here, but we're under a million people. It's a very quiet city. I think there's been 4 murders here this year.
Do people have any familiarity with rhetoric that is against Canada or rhetoric that views Canada as part of some Western conspiracy against Islam or against, the Middle East, that sort of thing? Does that even figure into people's background radiation here?
No, not in my experience anyway. It's something you don't really hear. Now, on the U.S. side, it's something you may hear a little more often in terms of the linking to terrorism. But in terms of Canada's role in this, not until recently when there were some American reports talking about how the ISIS was specifically targeting Canadian targets. That's kind of when it came onto everybody's radar, but I still don't think anybody was expecting something like what happened yesterday.
And describe the sense of how people walk in the capital of Canada without the kinds of, intensive security that you see in the United States and in capitals of Europe.
That's right. Even to compare the White House would see for security as opposed to Parliament Hill, it's a very stark difference. There is a noticeable police presence on the Hill, but you don't necessarily have you're able to walk right up to Parliament Hill, basically, right to the doors, just as this man did apparently yesterday. Everybody normally walks around freely. The Parliament Hill there is right near the downtown core. It's a very touristy area. It's not something that you normally think about in terms of security.
What are people talking about regarding the motive here and the internal sort of changes that seem to have come over this man who is the suspect now?
Various reports, obviously, but we've heard that early 30s, he recently converted to Islam. He was one of the 90 Canadians that are said to have had their passports revoked for being involved in fighting overseas in terrorism, in some kind of aspect of terrorism. A few priors in terms of drug possession and things like that, but nothing that would have indicated something like this.
And, we don't want to ascribe any causes here, but certainly part of the narrative of what happened after 9/11 related to the fact that there are an enormous number of young men in Saudi Arabia, for instance, just to use that as an example, who don't have much to hope for. The economy doesn't have a lot of opportunities for such people for reasons that are very, very different than economic issues in the United States and Canada. But I'm wondering if there is a sense that there are young men, young people of any description, really, in Canada who are lost and falling through the cracks and perhaps vulnerable to this kind of radicalization in any way.
We have learned of these 90 people who are said to have had their passports revoked, who are involved in terrorism in other places in the world. And it's interesting to see that the same amount of Americans as well, the U.S. with 10 times the population of Canada, has the same amount of people who are being watched overseas. So it seems like there is a little bit of a homegrown aspect here. And on a scale that we haven't really seen before, and bigger than the United States, I think, is the bigger shock.
Well, look, forget the notion of people who are lost and falling through the cracks. Is there a sense today in Canada that the culture of tolerance, of sort of easygoing, of looseness and a really a palpable, relaxed culture in Canada is proving to be a vulnerability in the 21st century?
Well, it's something I've read a lot this morning in terms of, Canada has lost its innocence type thing on the world scale because we haven't really seen anything like this before. But in terms of an overall climate, I think day to day, people will maybe start looking over their, especially here in Ottawa, people will start looking over their shoulders more. But I don't think that we'll see a massive change in terms of the Canadian psyche and the laid back, our reputation on an international scale. But in the same aspect, there's obviously issues here that have to be dealt with, and they've crept up over the last week. We've had the terror threat level raised. We've had these two attacks. So I think it's something we definitely have to address. But I don't see anything changing in terms of our international reputation.
Andrew Pinson is a reporter for 1310 News in Ottawa. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
How are Muslims in Canada dealing with the issue of radicalization that the gunman, Michael Zehaf Bibeau, is reported to be a Canadian convert to Islam? Or that the attack followed Canada raising its terror threat level after a Muslim convert murdered a soldier in a hit-and-run this week, also being termed a terrorist attack? Today, Muslims make up more than 3% of Canada's population compared to under 1% here in the U.S. How is that community feeling today? Joining us is Karim Karim, director of the Center for the Study of Islam at Carleton University. Welcome, Karim.
Thank you.
So would you describe this as a lone wolf kind of an attack, or is there some disturbing trend of radicalism within Islam that may have attracted this individual to making some decisions that have resulted in this very, very tragic attack here?
The whole issue about radicalism is something that's often talked about, but we seem to know very little in terms of what exactly happens when someone gets, quote-unquote, radicalized. And so if you look at the personal history of this person, he was born in Quebec, lived in Ontario, in Ottawa, traveled to BC, British Columbia. So he's been all over the country. He's had a criminal record. He apparently started going to a mosque, or at least was noticed at a mosque in British Columbia 3 years ago. He apparently traveled to Libya as a child. I think his father is of Libyan origin. So there's a very complicated history. Some media reporters have basically said he had some mental health issues. So when we talk about radicalization, we talk about a person turning a lone wolf. These are perhaps stereotypes or not very well defined concepts. We lump them together and try and make a story out of it. But every individual incident, every individual person involved in this kind of situation seems to have a very specific personal history.
Well, I mean, I think that's the notion of lone wolf here, in the sense that he's an outlier. He's acting from very personal internal motives, and he acquires the outward aspects of Islam, but he certainly comes from no particular movement. Can we agree on that, at least in its preliminary stage?
Yes, I think that would be one way to look at this situation.
But does anyone believe in Canada, and we talk about this a lot in the United States, that, and I'm not saying this is the case at all, but if someone decided that they wanted to join ISIS or do ISIS's bidding in the United States or Canada, that there's an address they could find to go to find people who would help him or her do something like that? Does anyone believe in Canada that that's possible?
It doesn't appear to be the case. I think there is some sort of communication going on. It's not exactly clear what's happening. There are different channels, and these may be sort of one-on-one channels, people encouraging others to go that way, or there's the general ISIS propaganda encouraging North Americans to attack targets in their own country. So there seem to be sort of multiple layers here. There doesn't seem to be sort of an ISIS central that people can turn to.
Do security forces and officials in Canada believe that there are Canadian citizens working with ISIS over in Syria and Iraq, whether or not they have any interest in coming back home or not?
Yes. In fact, various statements by security agencies have said that around 130 individuals have gone abroad and around 80 or 90 have returned.
Xenophobia is probably the wrong word, because Muslims have a long tradition in Canada, but I'm wondering if there is a concern that this will cause division, suspicion, that authorities will overreact here.
Yes, very much so. In fact, that was the case since 9/11. As you know, various countries around the world, including the United States and Canada, passed a number of laws. In some cases, the government does not have to provide explanations for what is called here a security certificate, and people are detained or certain kinds of restrictions are placed on them. So that's already been happening. But in terms of the community's response and the lobbying that has taken place, my sense is the government institutions and Muslim communities are working much closer together. Government is careful about using certain kind of words, although this doesn't always happen. Sometimes stereotyping and alarmist sort of statements are made. But by and large, I think there is a greater motivation to work together. Having said that, there have been disturbing survey results which show that in the general public, there has been an increasingly alarmist attitude towards Muslims over the last 3 years.
Have you experienced that personally?
Well, every time I fly Air Canada, which is the national airline, apparently someone, my sense is that someone with my name is on a watch list. So I'm politely told, okay, we have to sort of, you know, check in on something, you know, regard your passport or whatever. And sometimes it takes a few minutes, sometimes a little longer. So it is an inconvenience. But my understanding is that some other people have faced much more difficulty.
Kareem is director of the Center for the Study of Islam at Carleton University. He spoke to us from Ottawa. Thank you very much, Kareem.
Thank you.